Hello and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So Jimmy, how was your weekend?
This weekend was very uneventful. Kind of just chilled. I'm in between two conventions. Like last week I went to New Braunfels for this like retro convention. And then this coming weekend, I'm heading up to Irving, Texas for a, there's this anime called My Hero Academia. And they're having a small convention there. I'm mostly going because my friend, he sells, like, he's one of the artists in Artist Alley. So he sells art. And he's coming down from California, so he's going to be at that con. So that was kind of the little push I needed to convince me to go. So it's going to just be a day trip to Dallas area, as rough as those are. So I'm just going to go up, spend a couple few hours at the con, hang out with them for a little bit, and then head back down.
Nothing wrong with taking a short trip. You got to enjoy yourself, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about making a costume, but then we got hit with some really cold, rainy weather here in the Austin area. So, you know, painting anything now would not be... It wouldn't come out well for the costume.
Fair enough. I think I read, and I haven't checked it up. I've just seen people like talk about it on Reddit. But it sounds like there's like school closures in Austin or something like that.
Yeah, every school's like closed tomorrow. Austin, the Austin surrounding area. I hear San Antonio's closing. Some schools too, so... You know, it's a, I used to joke, like, this past, last year I went to Indiana to visit some friends, and it snowed, and I was like, oh, this is crazy, it's snowing, and we still went out to, like, eat lunch and stuff, so they were able to, like, maneuver the snow. Here in Texas, it, like, we close down if it gets really cold. Like, the roads are icy, I can understand that, but... Our vehicles, we're just not, we don't know how to drive in it, so it's best that we shut down.
And that's pretty much what it boils down to. It's a combination of our roads aren't designed in the same way as other areas that get regular snow and ice. We also don't have all the same resources, like not like we have a ton of snow plows and salt trucks ready at the go if something happens. We do have some. But because it's not a regular occurrence, we don't have a ton of them. And then because it's not a regular occurrence, most people do not know how to drive in the snow or in the ice. Like anytime, when I was still living in Texas, anytime that like there was even just a little bit of ice on the road, you would just see massive car pileups because people just didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, we freak out. And then, like, because of what happened 2 years ago when everyone here lost power for a few days, if you were at, you know what HEB is. If you were, like, at HEB or Walmart, there was, like, crazy amounts of line of people just kind of buying, stocking up on supplies. Because I don't know if you get messages. I doubt you get messages, but I don't even follow them. But I get Twitter alerts from I want to say it's ERCOT, whatever the power grid people are for Texas.
Yeah,
I get Twitter alerts from them being like, there may be outages. We don't know. And I feel like that throws us into a panic over here.
Understandably so. I mean, not knowing what's going to happen. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so... I don't know. My fingers crossed that I still have power. Hopefully make it through this podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you're this far, you should be fine. HEB is kind of like the FEMA of Texas, largely because Texas doesn't have, good infrastructure or resources to handle these kind of incidents, like the one that happened 2 years ago, the big freeze. I mean, I wasn't living in Texas at the time. I was here in the Bay, but I was talking to some of my friends who lived back in Austin. They're like, oh, yeah, HEB, which is large Texas grocery chain, for those not in the know, was essentially the FEMA at that point in time. Like, they were delivering food to people. They were, helping keep power going for people, stuff like that. So it's like, man, that, like, HEB is more than just a grocery store. It's like a lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's part of one of the reasons why I'm like, man, I don't know if I could live outside Texas. I love my HEB a lot. I remember when the power went out. I mean, there's nothing HEB could do. Like, I mean, they could have stopped people, but right when the power went out 2 years ago, if people were in HEB trying to buy their groceries and stuff, HEB just let everyone go with their stuff. Just because it was like, I don't know if they knew something, like the power was going to be out for a while or not, but, you know, they were like, this stuff's going to go bad if we don't just give it to these people. So, you know, HEB is very charitable. So I love me some HEB. I always shop at HEB. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it would also be like a lose-lose situation for HEB when you think about it, because, like, what are they going to do? Just do it all by pen and paper? Like, I mean, yes, technically they could, but then that would just slow down everything even more. So,
can you imagine having to restock all that? Like, HEB is like, sorry, we can't help you. You got to just all leave. And everyone just leaves their baskets. Those poor employees that are like, no power, stuck there. And now they're like, we got to put all this stuff back.
Exactly. Like, that would be the pain, too, is that knowing that, oh, yeah, I have to return everything. And it's probably going to go bad because, you know, they probably don't have a guarantee on when it's coming back on.
Yeah.
It could be in an hour. It could be in a day or whatever. So even if they put it back, the frozen stuff, they're going to have to toss anyway and whatnot. So might as well just let the people go. You could probably write it off as a loss or a donation or something like that.
Yeah, I do wonder how much grocery stores are insured for. Like, if the power goes out, like, if they lose all their meat, all their, like, dairy goods, all the ice cream's gone.
No idea, but that is an interesting question. Now I'm legit curious.
Yeah, it's always weird. So, like, I don't know. I do that a lot. I try to think of the logistical things. Unfortunately, I do that in movies a lot all the time. Like, logistically, what would this cost everyone to do this? I can't just live in the fantasy world sometimes.
A few years ago, somebody did insurance actuary or something, actually did like a cost breakdown of what the damage from the Battle of New York and Avengers would have cost the government. I forget what the number was, but as you can imagine, it was an insanely high number.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just everything tearing through that. I mean, if it costs the city, would that count as for the buildings too? Or are buildings insured separately by like the like
buildings are insured separately. Yeah, buildings are not. I mean, unless the city owns the building, buildings are insured by whoever holds the lien.
I'm sure this person did it for like everything that happened, you know, like all the car damages, like I gotta go look that up. I hope it's a YouTube video.
I think it was an article. Another guy did an article like a year later or a year before. Another guy did an article maybe around that time, and where he looked at the economics of being Batman and Iron Man, and like based on the technology that existed at the time, how much it would cost to be Batman and how much it would cost to be Iron Man. And I think it was more expensive to be Iron Man. Like, it was a few billion to be Iron Man, to have like one Iron Man suit. And then it was like several hundred million to have all the Batman gear.
And that just costs a, like, raw material, because they're both manufacturing in-house their suits. No, we save on that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the raw material, but also labor. I mean, those employees that are making the stuff have to get paid something.
Oh, you don't think you don't think Tony Stark's making all of it himself?
Oh, absolutely not. He's not, I guarantee you, he's not making microchips himself. He's acquiring them and installing them and whatnot.
Hmm. But he does have the workshop.
Yeah, I think that's where he assembles everything, but I don't think he gets like raw ore sent to his place and he smelts it or anything like that.
I don't know.
Or just silicon shipped and he has to like manufacture the chips themselves. Yeah, like he's getting like pretty much final building materials that he can build from, I'm guaranteeing.
So that means like if all those people got together, they could build their own Iron Man suit. Then what is like, because he's putting them all together. I don't know. Okay, I'm getting too deep into this.
Well, it's just like manufacturing a car. Like every individual component is not necessarily assembled by Toyota or Honda or whatever. Like different components might be made by different factories, big and small. So you might get tires from Michelin, but like the person who makes the seat heater might be some company out of Malaysia that you've never heard of or whatever. So they'll order all those pieces separately. They'll make some of their own, of course, and then just assemble it. So a lot of it is just knowing how to assemble, knowing what parts you need, all that stuff.
Because, I mean, like, who is that? What's his name? Justin Hammer?
Mm-hmm.
From Iron Man 2? Couldn't he just, like, go to all these people and be like, what is he buying from you?
In theory, he could. It wouldn't necessarily tell him exactly how Iron Man's building it, but it would at least, I guess, give him a starting point if he wanted to reverse engineer. But it wouldn't be super useful.
I think that's, like, 80%, right? And then just try, like, figuring out.
No, because I guarantee you he's writing his own software. So, like, in terms of the software, Iron Man's writing his own. And just knowing what kind of hardware he has isn't going to give you enough information on how the software runs.
Do you think if you got a... Well, okay, last thing. Do you think if you got an Ultron suit... Because remember in Age of Ultron, there was, like, them all over the place. If you got one, would kind of the software be there?
Yeah, supposedly it'd be stored on a hard disk or something within Ultron. So in theory, somebody smart enough could reverse engineer the system.
Okay. But on that note, how's your week been?
Mine's been all right. This past weekend, didn't do anything super exciting. I did watch Violent Night, which was, I must say, pretty fun. I also went out, got brunch, enjoyed the weather. We had nice weather this weekend, so I wanted to walk around and just take in everything. So I kind of walked around the city a little bit. It was fun.
Very nice. Oh, man. I haven't gone exploring, like, in a city in a while.
You know, it's a fun and cheap way to have a good time, like... Mm. Especially if you're in a nice city where there's a lot to see. And I'm sure even like the small towns have like a thing at the very least that is enjoyable.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. But there's this YouTuber I watch and he did a video about how like every small town has their own kind of festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Like a potato festival or whatever. And he goes to a few different small towns and like goes to their festivals and they're a whole bunch of fun. So that kind of, when you were talking about small towns, I really want to figure out, I don't live in Austin. I live in one of the, what is it called? Like suburb? I don't know.
Yeah. Suburb of Austin.
Yeah. So I wonder if we have any like festivals that I'm just missing out on. I'm sure San Francisco has a lot of them.
Oh yeah. Almost every weekend, if not more. And then a lot of what's it called, farmers markets and random happenings, maybe not official festivals, but random happenings going on. So it's pretty fun. But yeah, I think one thing we don't have, or one thing that we don't do, at least I've never met anybody who did it, is go stumping. But apparently it's a thing in King of the Hill, so let's jump in. I got my Segway power back. So this episode is episode 46. Luann gets lucky. It is season 11, episode 4, so a later episode. And it is very Lucky Luann heavy, as the title suggests. Like, that should be a given based on the title. But it's also a pretty good one. It kind of shows us a little bit more on what their relationship is like and what Luann needs, what Lucky needs, all that good stuff. I've never been the hugest fan of Lucky. Like, I don't dislike him, but I also am not a huge fan, if that makes any sense.
You don't like Lucky?
I have a love-hate relationship with him. He's not terrible, but he's not my favorite either.
I know we kind of talked about this last week, but I really like Lucky in this episode.
Fair enough.
I really like when Lucky says, when he's like, was it, he doesn't say trip, where he like slipped on, he's always like, I slipped on some pee-pee. I don't know why that always makes me laugh, but I think about that too often when I go into restrooms and like public places.
Cause it's almost sounds like a child saying it, not an adult, even though he's a grown man.
I think it's the extra pee. Like, yeah. He'd be like, I slipped on some pee, but just the pee-pee.
Yeah. Because that's how kids say it. Kids call it pee-pee. That's not an adult thing. Unless you're like talking to a kid, like, you know, you're talking to a 2-year-old. Oh, did you go pee-pee or whatever? But yeah, like just in normal conversation, adults don't use that word.
Yeah, and now that makes me think of Violent Night when they're talking about butts. But I digress.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. So we're at Jack's barbershop, which is the barbershop where Luann works, or at least at this point in the season. And she is doing the hair of one of the high school girls who's getting ready for prom. And Luann's kind of unloading on the girl unknowingly, even though the girl's just there to get her hair done and is like, oh, should I do an updo? Should I do this or that? And Luann's like, I didn't get to go to prom because I had to go to court to testify against my mom. And the girl's like, you know what? I think I want to do an updo. And she's like, oh, the bailiff who wrestled my mom down had an updo. And then like she starts crying and she's like, you're going to look so pretty. And of course, the girl's uncomfortable with all of this.
She does smile at the end. Like, it was a roller coaster with this girl in the chair. But I did like when Luann was like, you're going to look so pretty, because she felt uncomfortable before that. And then Luann compliments her that she's like, you know what? I am going to look pretty.
Fair enough. Okay, at the Hill House, Lucky is hanging out, and he's looking up winches in, like, a magazine. Gosh, man, that just goes to show you how old it is, because I feel like nobody would be doing that in a magazine today. But anyway, Bobby shows up, and he's like, I brought you some soda. I know you like it sweet, so I put some syrup in it. And then he's like, how many teaspoons did you put in? And he was just like, I don't know. I just poured until I felt like stopping, and Lucky drinks and he's like, you did good. Luann wants to go out with Lucky on Saturday because it's prom night. Everybody's going to be out prom. So let's go and do something romantic. And Lucky's like, no, I'm going to go stumping. And Luann's like, oh, I could join. And, you know, he's like, oh, well, stumping's not a woman's activity. And it's like, you say that about everything. And he's like, yeah, I know, which it's kind of funny. Sexist for sure, but it's also just kind of funny how nonchalant he is about it.
Okay, this is one of the things I don't like about Lucky's intro into the show, is that I feel like Luann's already had this problem. Remember when Luann was fixing cars and it was like kind of like, oh, women don't fix cars.
Yeah.
And then Luann proved everyone wrong because she was really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is kind of like the same thing. Like, Luann's really good at these other, like, what we would typically say male dominated things. Luann really is like good at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Lucky coming in kind of reverted her back to just kind of being like the ditzy blonde of the show.
Yeah, honestly, it happened way before then. Like, we never really see her do a cars again past, I want to say, like, season 3.
So when she rents that house, right?
Yeah, so, like, it's almost like they, well, I don't even want to blame the new episodes for that, because I feel like maybe as early as season 5, they started reverting her backwards a little bit.
But I really felt like Luann was so much better back then. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, I don't know, Lucky's not the smartest either. So when you kind of pair them together, it just kind of like reverts Luann back to this, like, almost like another child in the household.
Yeah, very much so. At dinner time, Hank's like, oh, my steak seems kind of small. And Peggy's like, well, I didn't realize Luann would be here. And Luann's going on about how Lucky doesn't have time for her and whatever. And it's like, well, do you have nowhere else to go? I mean, you want a piece for my plate? There's not enough here. So Hank's being very insensitive, but practical. In the alley, the guys are standing around and Bill talks about how he's had this ringing sensation in his ear since he was 12 and he's just going to have to learn to live with it. Now he's in his 40s, so it's like, oh, now you finally decided to learn to live with it? Anyway, Lucky shows up and he meets with Hank to get more power to his winch, because if anybody knows how to fix things or make things better, it would be Hank. So Bud Dauber and Elvin are there, and they're unable to help because, one, they don't know winches as well as Hank presumably would, and two, they're not allowed to leave the county, so they can't help Lucky with stumping. Stumping is essentially when they will use a winch to pull a big stump out of the ground and do whatever with it. He tells a story about how his grandpappy came across this legendary 48-inch burl walnut stump. How he was on a church picnic. So it's funny because it shows a flashback and Lucky's narrating it, but then what the flashback actually shows is completely different. So I'll just go back and forth on it. What Lucky is saying is that his grandpappy was on a church picnic and then he saw a storm coming. So he took shelter in the large stump, but then he took ill and he was called to his maker. Now, what actually happened is his grandpappy escaped from jail and was being hunted down by the Texas Rangers or whatever. He hid behind the large stump. And then when he says grandpappy took ill and called to his maker, it shows that it strongly implies that he was put into the electric chair. He wanted to find the walnut. Lucky wanted to find this walnut legendary stump. And he couldn't find it, but then he eventually did. And on his way to get the right equipment to get it is when he walked into Costco and slipped and got his money. He thinks it's about worth $15,000. And Hank's like, you know what? I would like to see that stump. And Boomhauer, you could use that wood for your dashboard. And Dale's like, oh, and I could use that on the butt of my gun. And Bill's like, and I just want to come.
Well, remember Bill first, before he says, I just want to go, he says that he can make a walnut hat.
Oh, yeah, he did. A wood hat would be uncomfortable.
Do you imagine it as a top hat? I only feel like it should be a top hat. If it is, that would be very heavy, though.
Logistically, it's the only thing that would make sense to me is if it were a top hat. But yes, it would be very heavy, and I imagine not very comfortable. See, so we go back to Jack's the next day. A high school boy comes in, and Luann kind of thinks, oh, you know, he's got prom's around the corner. He must be coming in to get a prom haircut. But nope, he's just getting a regular haircut. Kid's not going, and very non-PC. Luann's like, you got to go to prom. Even cripples and gays go to prom nowadays. And the boy says he doesn't have a date and asks Luann out. And Luann's like, oh, I can't. You know, I've got a fiance. And then Jack's like, I'm not doing anything Saturday night. You want to go grab a meal or something? It cuts over to back to the alley at night. And Luann wants to go out with Lucky. But Lucky says he's going out with the boys instead. So Luann says, fine, I'm going to go out with the boy too to prom. The guys shuffle away as this conversation starts because they know it's not going to go well. Lucky refuses to let Luann have fun, but Luann wants to go, and Lucky never takes Luann anywhere. So, you know, there's this weird ultimatum that they give each other where Lucky's like, it's either the prom or me. And then Luann's like, well, it's either the stumping or me. But then Lucky chooses stumping, and Bill tries to save the relationship. Like, he jumps in. He's like, no, no, you two are in love. Don't fall apart. You know, things like that. But Lucky decides he's going to go stumping, and so Luann decides, okay, I'm going to go ahead and go to the prom.
I love that Bill's trying to save love.
Yeah. I think it's because of his own divorce. He wants to keep anybody else from having to feel that pain. And understandably so.
Do you think... I don't know. Well, I mean, we know how the episode ends, but... I don't see Lucky picking, at this moment, stumping over prom or Luann.
I mean, at this point in time, it kind of makes sense because he has a one-track mind. And all he can think about is getting that legendary stump that he's been trying to get for years and that his grandpappy failed to get. And presumably his dad as well failed to get. So he's like got a single-track mind on this one. So we at back at the Hills house, Luann's talking to Peggy, and Peggy's like, oh, I didn't get to go to my prom. I mean, yeah, there were ugly and unpopular guys, but I stuck with my principles. Peggy is supportive of Luann going to prom, and Peggy living vicariously through Luann's experiences. Luann's very excited to go, largely because she never went to prom. And Peggy's like, you need to dance in a circle in a way that people will clap. And I don't know, like, I guess you would see in one of those movies, you know, teenage movies, circa 1990s, 2000s. I don't know, maybe even before then, 80s and 70s, John Hughes films. Luann goes to Jack's to get her haircut. He only has like two style options for her, the Linda Evans or the Joan Collins. And she gets the haircut and she doesn't like it. Like, it's definitely retro. It's not invocative of the 2000s. And she's trying to get Bobby to flatten it out for her by, you know, combing it out. And he's like, I can't. Every time I do it, it just pops back into place. Kevin shows up and Luann's like, oh, no, you can't see me. This is before the prom. And it's like, I think that's only for your wedding day. And Kevin wanted to show, like, you know, oh, I can only get this tux. And it was one of those blue tuxes. It was very reminiscent to me of, like, Dumb and Dumber. So it didn't look like your traditional black and white that you would probably wear to prom. More like what the unique kids would wear, I guess you could say. But Luann's like, oh, what you wear is so much less important than what I wear. Elvin and Mud Daubers show up and they threaten the boy. But then Peggy shows up and threatens to spray them. And I guess they thought maybe it was pepper spray or something. But so Peggy's like, oh, relax, it's oven cleaner, after they'd already left. Tell them that to Luann. So, yeah, a lot to uncover here. So it looks like Luann's going to the prom with a 15-year-old senior. So I guess one of those child prodigy types. Yeah, she's going to, you know, relive her high school experience that she never got to have. And Peggy's pushing her along, too, because she wants her to live for her. And a lot of stuff's happening.
I feel like oven cleaner is worse than pepper spray. Just my opinion.
I imagine neither one is great to inhale.
Well, I mean, in your eyes, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like oven cleaner would do permanent damage, but like pepper spray doesn't. Because like, it's, I don't know. It's made to sting, but not to like permanently damage you, right? I don't know. I don't know too much about pepper spray.
It can absolutely kill you. It is possible to die from pepper spray, but in most cases, it just makes you incredibly uncomfortable.
I'm also like, I don't know how to describe my feeling towards this, but how nice of Luann not to say anything to, what is it, Jack?
Jack's the barber.
Yeah. How nice her not. He picks out, like, he's like, which one do you want? They're both like old actresses. Like, this is like a, from what, the 70s?
Yeah.
Is that one? Yeah. So he picks, like, it's an old magazine he's holding up. And she does not say, like, nope, neither of these. She goes along with it. Of course, she's, like, having Bobby fix it at the end. But, you know, she's like, I want Jack to be a part of this moment as well.
Yeah, Jack, we've seen in some earlier episodes, is a much older guy. And so, you know, he's referring to actresses from, like, the 70s. And this episode takes place in the 2000s. So it would have been more, like, I'm trying to think of who would have been a contemporary then. Like, a Halle Berry haircut or something like that would have been more appropriate, I guess.
This is true. Man, her hair is big. I feel like, no, never mind. I was going to be like, big hair is like prom in Texas. But I went to prom in Texas. Like, it's not Big Hair anymore. But that was a long time ago that I went to prom. Maybe Big Hair's back.
It might be. I'm the last person you need to ask about style. I have no idea. But yeah, I didn't go to my prom. I don't know if I have any regrets about it. I'm sure like closer to that age, like when I was, you know, just a few years past 18, I had regrets. Now that I'm like in my 30s, I don't really care. Like, I'm like, I don't know that it would have made my life any better.
I think high school is overhyped. I think prom is way overhyped. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, and maybe everyone's different, but I don't look upon my high school life and be like, that was the time. Or like prom and be like, that was the time. I talk about it every now and then, but I've had better adventures in my adulthood than high school time.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. Like, I have more disposable income now than I did when I was 18 years old. I have more knowledge about stuff now than I was 18 years old and stuff. I feel like being an adult, granted, with all of the different, you know, responsibilities and stuff's way better than being a teenager. I felt like it was very limiting. You didn't have a lot of money unless, you know, you came from a rich or well-to-do family or something. So you didn't have a lot of your own spending money. And then how much spending money can you possibly make at a minimum wage job and whatever? So it's like, you know, there's like that trade-off. I think that's why people say, oh, these are the greatest years in your life, is because you don't have anything to worry about other than school for the most part. Like, that is the major responsibility you have, and everything else is just kind of hanging out and discovering and having fun and stuff. And then when you reach college, it's like, it's kind of a hybrid between being an adult and being a high schooler. Everybody always says it's like real life with training wheels. And then all of a sudden, you know, you become an adult, you graduate, and now you have adult responsibilities and stuff. And, you know, you have to worry about things like your career and pay and taxes and stuff. But at the same time, with that freedom or with that responsibility comes way more freedom.
True. Oh, I need to do my taxes. You're reminding me of life now.
It's all right. You've got quite a while before you have to turn it in.
Yeah.
But yeah. So in the forest heading towards the stump, everybody's in Lucky's truck. And Lucky's like, oh, you know, I've got a map in my head of where this is. And Dale's like, oh, must be an implant. I got mine done too, which is kind of funny because I don't know if Dale's lying or if some random guy just took some money from him to put a bottle cap in his skull and tell him it's a chip or whatever. I don't know. Lucky gets a call from Elvin and Mud Dauber about Luann and the prom. And Lucky's like, oh, Luann's going to prom with somebody else. And Hank's like, so when you are stumping, you don't talk about relationships, right? And he's like, nope. And Hank's like, oh, thank God. And then cuts over to Elvin and Mud Dauber. And they're like, oh, he sounds like he's torn up. We need to make this right. So now they take it upon themselves to threaten this Kevin kid. And they track him down to the florist that he's picking up his corsage. And they pull the little needle out of the corsage and pop his tire. And he's like, I'm a 15-year-old senior. I've been through it all. Wedgies and swirlies and stuff. There's nothing you could do that will bother me. And they're like, well, we can kill you. Oh, gosh. Like, it was just... those two guys, they are terrible. So it's prom night. We're at home. Peggy goes up to Luann and says, you look almost perfect. And Luann's like, well, almost? And she's like, no, you just need this. And Peggy gives her a tiara and she's like, now keep it safe. It's been in the family since Halloween 1973. So it's not even like a fancy tiara. It's probably one of those cheap tiaras you can get. We're walking through the forest and there's a stump and Hank's like, five men, one stump. This is the stuff they write books about. And then Dale's like, would it be even better if one of us turned into a werewolf? Which I kind of feel like is a Stephanie Myers reference, because around that time, I think, is when Twilight was starting to pick up. But that's just me. As Lucky's walk in, he trips, and he's like, oh, this is the gopher hole that I tripped over years ago. And then he stands up, and he hits his head on a tree, and he's like, oh, and this is a tree branch I hit. And then 16 paces, and then he finds the stump, and wow, it's like huge, just as he says, as Hank says, it's like 6 burls per square inch.
Okay, first, Twilight is that old? I mean, yeah, I guess Twilight is super old now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think the books came out around that time. Not necessarily the movies, but I think the books came around at the time.
And then I always liked the guys' friendship, you know, the four of them. And whenever I see Dale be really weird like this, I'm like, man, they are very like, we grew up together. We're childhood, like, we've been friends forever. We're always going to be friends. Because Dale is like, this is something like Bobby would do. You know, like, what if one of us turned into a werewolf? But Hank's not kind of like going off on him. Like, he probably would if Bobby did it in public. He's kind of like, this is just Dale. So I really like how the guy's bond is like kind of like really solid like that.
Yep, as long as they're not talking about relationships.
Yeah.
I do like how Elvin and Muddob are essentially just threatening to kill the kids. And even though Lucky didn't even give them that order, they just kind of decided on their own that's what they needed to do.
Well, they're, you know, they're bored. They're not out stumping. They want to be stumping with them. But I guess that's the other, you know, it's their bond too, that friendship bond.
True. Lucky doesn't seem to be as much of a criminal as Elvin and Muddob are portrayed to be, because they've mentioned many times that they've been in jail and on probation and ankle monitors and stuff. So,
but do you think it's because Lucky has that PP money?
Maybe. Could also just be that Lucky's a decent guy.
Could be. I mean, we'll never know because he does have the money.
Back at home, Luann's emptying her purse and like trying to fill up her clutch and whatnot as she's getting ready for her prom date. Door rings and she assumes, oh, it's her prom date. She goes and it's Kevin's little brother. And he's saying that, you know, Kevin can't go or Kevin won't go because he's being threatened. And Luann's very sad. And yeah, it is not a good thing. And did he say, bro, do you have candy?
I don't know. I don't think he says bro, but I know Luann's like going off about how she doesn't have a fiance, but she's like, at least I can go to prom. And now I can't even go to prom.
Yeah, somebody says, do you have candy?
He does say, do you have candy? And then she's like, I don't even have candy.
Yes, there you go. After the break, Luann's crying and Peggy's like, oh, go and ask her, like saying to Bobby. And Bobby's like, oh, but Ma, you know, he's reluctantly goes up and he's like, Luann, I know it's not for many years, but will you go to prom with me? And Luann just kind of gives him a death stare and he runs away. And Peggy's like, oh, crying will not make this go away. I will. And she's like, ah, Luann's like, I'm just going to crash the prom so everyone will suffer like me. And Peggy's like, and I will help. They go over to Kevin's place and just kind of show up in his room. And Peggy says that he's going to prom. And Kevin's like, oh, those men will kill me. And then Peggy's like, they're going to have to get past me first. And Kevin's like, you're very scary. And she's like, yes, I am.
Where are Kevin's parents?
That's true. Who let them in?
Kevin's little brother? I don't know.
Maybe. So that's a little weird. Like, you have a 20-something and a 40-something showing up at your house saying, we're here to talk to your son about prom dates. Back at the stumping, Hank and the guys are, like, super into it, trying to make everything work. And Hank's like, you know, oh, you know, we don't have enough winch, but if you can get some crowbars under it, you can leverage it and give us another 6 inches. And Lucky, who is supposed to be manning the winch, is instead just obsessively looking over photos of Luann. At the prom, Luann's like, oh, you're going to get the chicken and I'm going to get the steak and stuff like that. But the guy's clearly nervous because he knows those guys are out there to hurt him. Luann's like, oh, they're already on probation for a violent crime. They can't they can't afford to get in trouble anymore, which is not exactly comforting, but okay.
I love when Kevin asks, like, what the crime was, and she's like, I don't know, something with a nail gun.
But, you know, we'll take them, and, I mean, I I appreciate the confidence there, but as a 15-year-old kid, those guys look scary. And if I knew that they were in probation for a violent crime, I would start to feel very scared myself. So I don't blame him. Back at the stumping, they kind of fail to put everything together because Lucky's head isn't into it. He's too busy looking at his phone. And, oh, this job was meant for a better man than us. And Hank's like, no, we just need to keep trying. We can make this work. And then Lucky's just like, should I apologize to Lan and tell her I love her? Hank's like, don't take this the wrong way, but I sincerely don't care what you do. Lucky's like, gotcha. Goes back out to the truck, and I guess they think, oh, he's gonna let down some more of the winch or whatever. But then you just hear his truck take off, and he drives away.
I love this. This scene is like, oh, this made me laugh a lot. First of all, I love when Hank's kind of just like, huh, after Lucky drives away, because honestly, Hank said he didn't care what he does. So, you know, Lucky made his own decision.
That's true. If he wanted him to do something else, then he should have said it.
And I also like, before this, Lucky's like talking about, he's looking on his phone and he's like, oh, look at this picture of Luann eating a pizza. And it's like the worst picture of her ever. Because she's like stuffing her face with a slice of pizza. And like food's all coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, but you know, that's love. You can you can see everybody differently with love in your eyes. There we go, words.
I'm sure Luann doesn't want that picture to be the one that's shown around.
Yeah. Back at the prom, Peggy is keeping watch at the door, and there's like, I guess, a metal detector, and the school security is patting down a person. Then Peggy decides to give the guy an extra pat down just to be extra sure. Because I guess she needs to make herself feel useful, whatever. Everybody's starting to have a good time, and Luann's like, this night will make up for my crappy life. Luann's like, let's dance. So put my hand here, and then you put your hand here, and you might actually feel the baby kick, which, in case anybody hasn't gotten this far in the series, like if you're just jumping around like we are, Luann's pregnant with Lucky's baby. We notice now that Elvin and Mud Dauber are hiding in like the cardboard cutout castle that they have there. Mud Dauber's like, have you ever been bitten by a brown recluse? And Elvin's like, if I'd been bitten by a brown recluse, I'd be dead and we wouldn't be having this conversation. And they look and they're like, I see them touch dancing. And then they just break down the castle and walk over. Aunt Peggy tries to help, but they close the door on her and jam a chair under so she can't get in. Kevin hides behind Luann, but then Luann's like, you have to fight, Kevin, you have to fight. Nerds have amazing strength in times like this. And Kevin tries and gives it all he has, and he hits, but it's like a very soft hit on Mud Dauber. It looks like it's going to go terribly for Kevin, but then all of a sudden the door busts open. Lucky used his winch to open the door. The boys want Lucky to hit Kevin. They're like, oh, we caught him for you. Here you go. And Lucky says, no, let the boy go. And Elvin and Mud Dauber leave. And Luann asks Lucky about the stump. And Lucky says Luann is his stump. And they hug. And Lucky lets her dance with Kevin because he's like, well, I'm not dressed up for a prom, so you dress for it. But make sure you give me the last dance. Make it, 25 or 6 to 4? I think was the song. That'll be the last song, which is an interesting choice. Back at the stump, the guys are left alone cold, and they're like, oh, we're super cold. And Bill's like, if we could huddle together, we'll keep each other warm. And Hank's like, not a chance. And Bill's like, but nobody would know. And Hank's like, I know, and that would be bad enough. The last dance takes place. Weird song choice. All the kids are kind of like, what? But they're forming a circle around Luann, and she's dancing. So, hey, she gets to dance in the circle with Lucky and have her prom dream. And that concludes the episode.
Where are the teachers? Where is any supervision at this prom?
That's a good point.
And then they let Lucky just in at the end.
Like, he doesn't even just go in. He uses a winch and breaks down the door.
Yeah, but then at the end, they just allow him to, like, come back in and have a dance.
Yeah, maybe it's that small town mentality. I don't know. Like, oh, well, we all know who Lucky is, so he can just hang out.
Maybe. But I do think except for our guys, except for the Hank crew, I do think everyone got a really nice ending.
Yeah, except for the guys. But I mean, obviously, I think at some point Lucky comes back for them, but I'm sure they're also not super thrilled about it either.
Yeah, or Peggy comes and gets it. So, I mean, eventually they end up back at home, right?
Yeah, well, I'd imagine it'd be Lucky since Rocky's the only one who knows where they are left. Like, it makes it, the episode makes it kind of clear that they are way off of the beaten path. Like, they're not like, oh, just right outside of the city or whatever. So, yeah, but I do think it was a good ending. I do think we also get a little bit of look. We get a better look into Lucky's life because, I mean, we don't hear a lot about like how Lucky was raised. We hear every now and again, we hear some stuff. But we don't hear a ton of it. But, you know, I don't know that he had the best people around him. Very sadly, we didn't have the best people around him growing up. And so, you know, he might not know how to handle his emotions or show that he loves Luann properly or, you know, be able to focus on her, because it sounds like one of the biggest problems between them in their relationship is the fact that he never does anything with Luann. And, you know, he has fun with his boys, but doesn't include Luann in anything. And but now it sounds like he's like, oh, he's starting to figure it out.
Well, I mean, we do get to see kind of Lucky's code or family code in a later episode.
Yeah,
we get to see that. I just think it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, you always take the person who's always going to be there for granted. You know, Luann's always going to, like, has always been by his side and just is always there. And you take that for granted sometimes, the people who are kind of always there for you, who allow you kind of go be your own person, you know? So I just think, like, he's realized the value of
Luann. He does. He learns the value of Luann. He learns what matters. Like, what's the word? Like, even, like, after he got rid of her, not got rid of her, but even after he's like, oh, well, I'm going to go stumping and that's that and stuff. Like, that's all he cares about. Like, he doesn't even pay attention when they're trying to pull the stump out and they need him to give like another inch or two in the winch or whatever.
Yeah, completely distracted for a good reason, because he realized he hurt someone he cares about.
Yeah, I do think Lucky is a good guy. Deep down, I think compared to what Hank is used to and whatnot, he's not, because he's like unemployed and he doesn't seem to care all that much about that or anything. Whereas Hank's like, oh, you know, I'm a hard worker and I take pride. I mean, we even see those episodes where he injures himself and he thinks like, oh, I won't take off of work because that's what lazy people do or whatever. So, you know, I think Hank sometimes is at odds with Lucky, but I think he also sees that Lucky is deep down just like a decent person. That's at least been my impression. Yeah. So other than that, I mean, I think it was a good episode. I do like seeing episode around different people every now and again. You know, we get a lot of Bobby and Hank and Peggy episodes. It's nice to have one that's focused on someone else.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I love seeing Luann kind of get some attention. This is a really funny episode. Great moment. I love it when Peggy is kind of like the strong arm. Or, you know, you can really see like Peggy is the defender. So I like those kind of episodes too. So this had a lot of my favorite things in it.
Yep. Well, do you have anything else?
No, just like always, really good episode. Definitely worth a rewatch.
I agree 100%. Rewatch it. Rewatch it 5 times, everybody.
Yeah, instead of going to prom, rewatch this episode.
Exactly. Kids, don't go to prom. Watch this episode with your friends. Watch it like 4 times. That'll probably cover the entire time that prom takes place. And yeah, you won't regret it. Next week, we're going to look at Hank's Cowboy Movie, which is a very early episode. And I, you know, as you can tell by the name, it is very Hank heavy, but I find it to be incredibly wholesome. I went on the rewatch, and we'll talk about it more on the episode, but on the rewatch, it just reminded me of how wholesome their relationship could be sometimes, Bobby and Hank. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.